I experience these monthly calls, in fact, as a truly sacred, empowering, like person-to-person, interpersonal ceremony. And to me, these are like ceremonies of the heart. They're ceremonies of love, ceremonies of our opening together to whatever the gifts of life are. So I want to enjoy, to ask you to join with me on this Halloween Eve, and join with the rest of us, everybody who's here. And we have, I think, roughly about 100 people every month or so, as we enter together into what I feel is this exceptional opportunity, this rich experience of you, of us, of life, and of anything that is miraculously possible. So, as Donna mentioned, I've chosen the topic, being the fullest possible you, for this talk, because it seems to me, at least, that each of us show up here in this adorable little human dimension to be fully, wondrously, and gloriously here, like here in capital letters, and once fully here, to live the absolute fullness, wholeness of who we are, what we are, as well as the fullness and wholeness of whatever our human life is and winds itself up to be. So if we look around, though, or what the heck, even if we look inside ourselves, we don't find too many people who seem to be living their lives fully, or feeling whole and complete within themselves. And that probably, especially on certain days, would go for every one of us as well. So I thought, hey, let's just talk about that. Let's look at this phenomenon of being fully who we are. What does that mean, being our full self? And how does that happen? You know, every technical approach to life, every ology, if you will, gives us a certain approach to being whole. Religions, for example, tell us one thing, and science invites us to another path to wholeness, and psychology gives us still another avenue, and our various philosophies orient us another way, and spirituality offers us yet another menu for wholeness or freedom or happiness. And each one of these approaches has enormous value, but which one speaks to you? Which ones maybe don't even have your name on them at all? Well, my guess is that since you're here right now, I'm here right now, the spiritual approach tickles your heart and stimulates your mind a little more than some of the others. So let's explore your personal wholeness from a more spiritual perspective, at least for now. So in doing that, let's start at the very beginning. Gee, wouldn't that make a nice song? You know what's great about the way we do this teleconference, I put you all on mute, and I can't hear all the groans when I make a little remark like that. So it's a win-win. At least it's a win for me. So let's start at the very beginning, and I promise I won't sing it for you, because then everybody would hang up, and I'd be talking just to Donna. Let's look at what it was like when you took your first peek into this human scene. And here's a scenario that just in your pre-human existence might have happened. There you were, this very bright light, this dynamic spirit, this potential-filled soul, looking around for a focus, a purpose, a way to spend your time. Now, don't get me wrong, you were perfectly happy up there in those higher dimensions, enjoying the sights of the universe, playing endlessly with light and its glorious displays of color, and simply celebrating the wonder of creation. But every time you focused your attention on this three-dimensional and four-dimensional space and time-bound human world, something tugged at you, something like gripped your light-filled heart and seemed to beckon you here. Why, you asked yourself, why would I be called to focus my vast, many-dimensioned expansiveness into this small, narrow world of only three and four dimensions? This question probably puzzled you for quite some time. Then it came to you, if you will, like a bolt of awakening light, direct from everywhere. I mean, hey, you've got to stretch the language here. They want my expansiveness, you thought. They need my vastness. They have forgotten their glorious nature, and they know I can remind them of it. They need a living model of a vast, expansive, whole, free, light-filled, wondrous human being. Someone who could walk among them as a mirror of the real truth of who they are. So finally, you said to yourself, ah, I can do that. In fact, what a cool thing to do. So you quickly packed your interdimensional bags into your now-focused soul. Hey, I even wrote that one down. That's too good. Packed your interdimensional bags. And swoosh, you brought your free, vast self into our human realm, ready and even charged to splash your endless light into our hearts and show us how a being of light moves and grooves on an earthly dance floor. And you came here to inspire all of us here with a model of fullness and wholeness. And I know that could sound on the one hand kind of far out, like, oh, what a great story, but is that really the case? But I think if you look deep in your soul, deep in your core, deep in your ancient wisdom, if you will, you'll find that something like that, some story like that, is your story. And by the way, let me be the absolute first one, and I'm sure I'm the first, to welcome you to this noble task. And even, frankly, to thank you for hearing our human call as astutely as you did. In short, thanks for coming to our Halloween party. You know, I just had to say that. I mean, you know what season it is. Thanks for dressing up like a real deal human person. Thanks for even pretending to be less or other than your natural, free, whole, vast, wondrous self, just so we could relate to you. And thanks for hanging in there with us all these years. So, you're here. You've come into our world. You've taken on a downright human persona. You've infused and tucked your enormous light into your tiny physical body. And yes, no matter what you weigh, it's still a tiny physical body compared to the enormity of the universe. You've changed your natural language from that of light and oneness to a language of duality and energy, and you've learned to speak those languages quite well. You've taken on an intriguing and demanding life path. You've engaged in some absolutely impressive life purposes, and you've spent your entire life trying ever so hard to remember, to recall why you came here in the first place. Well, I believe that you came into this sacred human sphere because in your more exalted, spirit-filled, expansive self, you knew something about what being human is all about. Something that most human beings had forgotten. Yes, forgotten. And you wanted to share that classy knowledge, that pure wisdom, with us. You knew, for example, that being human is simply a matter of having a set of lenses through which to perceive the extraordinary wonder of the divine. You knew that being human is like a set of clothes in which you feel the divine as it touches your skin in an ongoing loving embrace. You know that being human is a mindset through which you can know, we can know, the bigger truth of the divine. You know that the human experience is an energy field in whose swirling, invisible wind the divine comes even more alive. Or, to say it another way, being human gives us an otherwise unattainable glimpse into the magnificent makings of divinity, of infinity, of universality, of ultimacy, of grandeur, of endlessness, of perfection, of potency, of beauty. And you've become one of us so that two things. One, you could first and foremost perfect that style of perceiving infinity, that style of feeling divinity, that style of knowing perfection and experiencing the absolute wonder of life yourself. And then two, so that you could share that glorious experience of life with others who just happen to be drawn into your sphere. Yes, I think it's actually that simple. You're here to bring to yourself and then to us the bigger, fuller wonder of life that you already know and have lived so well in your, if you will, pre-human days up in the ethers. Why? Again, just because we've forgotten. Do you remember that adorable story? I've heard it maybe two or three times about the little, I think, two-year-old boy whose mommy had just given birth to a new baby, and that new baby was now his little sister. And then one day his mother just happened to be walking by the nursery and peeked in, only to find her precious two-year-old son standing intently in front of the crib, looking at the baby for a long time, seemingly in silence. And his mommy, after a while, asked him what he was doing in there. And the little boy told her, "I'm asking my new sister to tell me what it's like back in heaven, back where she came from, because the longer I'm alive, the more I forget what it was like there." Well, I don't know about you, but there's something about that story that just every time I hear it just touches me deeply. And even when I recalled it this afternoon to share with you again, there was some little invisible tear inside that just whelmed up. And I think what it is it's this: we all forget. We all forget. We can say why or why not. We all forget, not because we have to, not that forgetting is imperative in our humanness, and certainly not that we want to forget what the fuller life is. No, we do it simply, I don't know, maybe because everybody else does it. That's right, we take our cues from the crowd. So, as we know, there's a place deep in our core where you and I haven't forgotten at all. No, not at all. We haven't forgotten one iota, one element, one aspect of our vast, expansive self. We still hold the memory of the wonder of divinity and the endlessness of infinity right in the middle of our humanness. And there's my point. You and I allowed our now human selves to pretend that we left all that expansive wonder, all that endless glory behind us when we came here. And the fact is, we never did any such thing. We're still expansive. We're still many-dimensioned, multi-dimensional, wondrous, expansively alive, all floating around this unending universe, enjoying the divine sights as we speak right now and in every moment of our lives. We're simply waiting for ourselves to awaken more and more fully to that fact, to remember that truth, to recall that joyous experience. And now, yes, here and now, just might be the perfect time for us, you and me, to wake up the next step into that simply divine reality. So let's come back to our original question. What is being whole and full all about? Remember the title, Being Our Full Self. Well, first and foremost, I think it's about being your whole self. And that whole self is a unique blend. It's a blend, on the one hand, of your dynamically, richly luminous, many-dimensioned existence as a being of enormous light on the one hand, that you that was floating around before you came here, and on the other hand, your more three- and four-dimensional space-time, dualistically based human self. It's a blend of both of those. It's not just that you left one behind and came here to live in this small space. It's that you brought that other many-dimensional self with you. That's what being full and whole is all about. It's about your identity. It's about yourself. It's about your awareness of who you really are. It's about your being big enough, grand enough, vast enough to remember. To remember the full truth of you. Gay Hendricks, a professional colleague of mine and one of our contemporary experts on relationships, once wrote these words, and I just found them quite gripping. It's about two or three sentences. We eventually become aware of our unity with the whole because it's inescapable. The awareness is wired into us, because we're wired into the universe. We can try to pretend we're separate from the rest of the universe, but one way or the other, it will catch up with us and welcome us back into its embrace. And you know, I looked up another quote, one I had found quite some time ago, and I was just entranced with it mainly because of the nature of the author. And the author is a Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius, who wrote these words, and I know when we think Roman emperor, we don't think that he would have this orientation. But apparently he had a bit of a mystical side to himself. He said this, "I am a part of the whole, all of which is governed by nature. I am intimately related to all the parts, which are the same kind as myself. If I remember these two things, I cannot be discontented with anything that arises out of the whole, because I am connected with the whole." So, allow me to repeat a very, very important truth about you and me and us. We are mighty, mighty beings, equally specializing in formlessly infinite and form-filled finite realities at the same time, both of those, powerfully experiencing divinity in both expansive and contracted ways at the same time, and living everywhere and on this earth at the same time. Trick or treat, the trick is, if you will, our foolproof path to wholeness and fullness is to remember the fullest truth of who we are. And yes, it's that simple. I just have been recently reading one of my cute little modern science books, and the author makes the point that 96% of all life in this time-space dimension that we live in, 96% is invisible. And the visible 4% are, of course, the various stars and planets and meteors, etc., and the space dust that's out there. And then on, for example, this planet, all the physical forms that are there. The other 96% is both dark matter and dark energy, which are both expansive. The dark energy is expansive, and that's why the universe is expanding. And then the smaller part, about one-third the amount of the expansive dark energy, is dark matter, which is contracting, which stabilizes, which holds us at least somewhat together, creates the invisible form. And that's what supports you and me, is 96% invisible life force, invisible energy. And so if I just take that back to this whole theme we're talking about, that yes, there's this human self, there's this body, there's this energy field and emotion and mind consciousness and all that we've got here, and 96%, or modern science would from another angle talk about it being 99.9% of us, is space and light and emptiness and vastness that is, again, multidimensional, that is from everywhere, and it is right here in front of our face. It's right here in our bodies. It's right here in our cells. It's right here in every thought we have. So, how about we apply this to a few practical scenarios in our lives, just as soon as I take a drink? So, I've got, I think, three scenarios here that I jotted down. First, scenario number one. Let's assume that you're having a really, really hard day. Now, I know this is hard to imagine, but stick with me. Nothing on this day seems to be going your way. You're feeling perhaps a little depressed. Your expansive vision of yesterday seems to have moved, temporarily at least, into the cellar. And you feel exactly like a real, struggling, pained, and yes, ordinary human being, with an itsy-bitsy, teensy-weensy, downright little tiny consciousness. Now, how's that for a great scenario? Now, on the one hand, I'm very aware that this situation I've just described may be nothing more than and nothing less than the ebb portion of a very natural ebb and flow and ebb pattern of life, and that if it is indeed that, it's often best just to ride it out and stick with the whole energetic pattern as it moves, and then celebrate the ebb as much as possible, and then when the flow comes around again, enjoy it immensely. On the other hand, it may be that this energetic downturn in your life could be a deeper opportunity, a personal invitation to wake up, to wake up. That's right, to remember, to recall, to wake up to the much bigger version of who you are. So in that case, there you are, wailing and moaning, feeling bad about anything and everything, especially about your bad fate in this moment. So what can you do? Well, for starters, you can remind yourself that, this moment is the contracted version of your expansive self. That this is one side of a much larger coin, that beneath this darker moment of experience lies a self that is also an enormous expansive light. Then, with reminding yourself of that, you could invite your conscious focus to follow the breadcrumbs of this darkness to their next opening. An opening that, if you just stick with it, will naturally move you into a more compelling view of, you got it, your expansive self, or of the expansiveness of life. And of course, no sooner do you get to that brighter view of who you are, then you begin to see from that little visionary perch that rests above the forest of your life situation, you begin to see a much bigger vision of what those denser feelings are all about. And you start to see the wisdom of what's been happening within you and around you. And you begin to perceive a deeper inner peace, a sense of, all's right with the world here, and a feeling of, yes, back to the title, fullness and wholeness. So let's move to a second scenario, a more typically human one, possibly. Let's say you're cruising along feeling pretty good, and many things are going your way today, and out of the blue, some unwanted, some unforeseen event happens that just takes your breath away. It feels awful or terrible or just plain lousy. It just destroyed your day. And hey, I know, nothing outside us has the power to destroy us. We're all in charge of our destiny. But hey, let's give ourselves a little break and go easy on the theory here. So work with me here. The bottom line is, you're not a happy camper anymore. So in this scenario, what can you do? Well, for starters, you could ask yourself a simple question like, I wonder why my expansive, all-knowing self invited this event to roar into my life like this. Or, if you want another version of that same approach, you could say to yourself, I know that nothing happens to me without it being some part of a bigger, greater opportunity for my growth and expansion. That is, without it carrying with it a personalized invitation for increased expansiveness on my part. Then you could ask your expansive self, what's the scoop here? What are you inviting me here to, or what am I inviting me here to? And sure enough, what happens shortly is a bigger, fuller awareness of what that invitation is about. Let me just give you an example. For you, the invitation may not be about survival, like that happens, and it's not necessarily about, how can I survive here? It may also not be about self-deservingness, like, hey, I deserve better. Or it may not be about personal safety or security themes, am I okay? Can I take care of myself? It may be not about those at all, even though many people would probably feel themselves invited to exactly those important growth possibilities. For you, instead, it may have happened as an invitation to see everyone in life, including the offending party, that, pathetically insensitive perpetrator of your pain, as a willing and gracious partner in the unfolding dance of your perfect life. Or as somebody who's playing a role that gives you a hands-on opportunity to move dramatically and grippingly into your expansive fullness. And feel gratitude for the way that that person partnered with you in the co-creation of this oneness-inviting event. Now, I'd like to just look briefly at a third scenario, if you're up to it. Let's say that you're getting more and more clear about your expansive nature. You're noticing more clearly every day how the innate brightness of life has bit by bit taken you over, and you're opening increasingly to feeling freer, fuller, more whole, happier. And just as you're feeling quite grounded in this expansive state of being, let's say somebody from your past, someone who's had the power to unravel you and disempower you in your distant past, and a lot of times this is a family member, comes along and yanks on your historical string. And what happens? You fall apart. You're all together, deeply grounded. God self does what? It just dissolves quickly into a primal scream of self-protective rage or emotional hurt or deeply rooted pain that you had even forgotten existed in your precious psyche in the past. Wow, what do you do? What can you do? Well, first of all, you can do what probably we would all want to do in that instance. You can breathe. You can take a breath. And perhaps in the exhale of that momentary slow breath, you can feel the pain directly. And then, in an intimate exchange of energies, you and the pain, you can make friends with that pain, remembering that any pain is simply a voice from somewhere, wanting an intimate moment with you, speaking some truth deep within the reverberations of your inner being. And that spoken truth from the pain could be anything, of course, but let's assume here that your deep pain might be speaking a message that goes something like this. You are indeed finished with this kind of pain for yourself, but you know, it's time for you to connect with this kind of pain that comes from the greater human version in some way. I've invited you, I the pain, to experience this pain as a way of initiating yourself into being a loving healer of the pain that lives all around you. So listen to me, pain, as I mentor you in expansive ways that you can relate to this collective human phenomenon called pain. Then, in that personalized mentoring over a little bit of time, you just might be shown how to carry that pain in yourself, not as a personal sufferer of its hurt, but as an expansive healer of its need. And in fact, you might become quite masterful in loving the pain, so masterful that you become, in effect, a testimony to the whole and full self that you really are. And in this regard, I'd like to read a quote I picked out from Marianne Williamson, which goes like this. As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Well, we've just checked out a few scenarios that may be, each in their own way, covert invitations for us to use them to jump right back into our expansive, full selves. Let's shift now, shift our focus, and ask ourselves this question. How important is it for me to be my fullest self? Now, I know that that question might seem silly. After all, you wouldn't be here this evening unless something deep and powerful within you really moved you to hear and maybe take in these words. In other words, there's something in you that's absolutely about being your fullest possible self. And that is true, but let's recall that many, many people are not called to be everything they possibly could be. Their souls seem to invite them to overcome perhaps a certain hurdle, a certain difficulty, a certain strong wall in their lives, and then find their comfortable niche and enjoy life from the confines of that niche. This approach is certainly not one of expansive growth, but it is one version of the human experience, and it's one that I'm deeply comfortable with when I see people just sitting in their niche. I mention this fact, and I underline this contrast between you and these others, only because we're all here to follow, I guess what I'd like to call the deafening call of our own souls, our own truth. And your truth is one that calls you to the most infinite, expansive, full, and boundaryless versions of yourself and of life. So to answer the question I just posed, how important is it? It seems to me that it's very, very important to your soulful self, your many-dimensioned self, that you remember, back to the word remember, that you remember who you are, that you know and experience and live the multidimensional, the wondrous, the infinite, yes, the divine reality of your perennial nature, that you never forget that what we call God or Goddess lives profoundly within you and expresses enormously as you every moment of every day, and that only by being and embracing this grand truth of yourself do you fulfill and complete the whole reason you came here to walk powerfully among us. And if I may, I'd like to express anew that special reason you showed up here in human form. It's because you heard the cry and the call of our human family. And I don't think you'd be here necessarily if it weren't for that. You heard them, you heard us call out to your vast spirit, to your free-floating being, to your miracle-creating light, asking you to bring that grand divine self to us, to mirror it to us, to help us to reawaken to the fact that this is also our nature. Your nature is our nature. And to remember who we all are. And that's exactly what you've done. You've become one of us. You forgot who you were. You ventured onto a path of remembering, and you've done just that. You've awakened to the truth of who you are. And now you're here to let that light shine glowingly into our hearts. You're here to mirror your magnificence into our core so that we can see it as our own magnificence. You're here to heal the pain of our forgetting just by your remembering, just by being the full, whole you that you so delightfully are. So, as a final offering to your waiting heart, I'd like to offer all of us a few closing thoughts. A few closing thoughts about personal approaches, I think three approaches to be specific, that you and I can take to remembering who we are. And the first of the three is this: invite yourself to a personalized, custom-designed vision. I think it was the 19th, 20th century British philosopher James Allen who wrote that famous book called As a Man Thinketh. You remember that, it's on your bedside. Who wrote these words about the importance of our personal vision, and the quote goes like this, it's one sentence. The vision that you glorify in your mind, the ideal that you enthrone in your heart, this you will build your life by, and this you will become. Well, these inspiring words emphasize for us the vital role that our underlying vision, our worldview, our self-concept, our light-filled focus plays in our life. You know, I was thinking this afternoon, I hadn't thought of this in a long time, but for a few years, and during those years I specialized as a psychologist more in children and adolescents, I gave really what was probably countless talks to even more countless parent-child groups and school parent-teacher association meetings and teacher convocations. And in these meetings, I shared a lot of psychological research that in short indicated, based on studies, that the biggest indicator of academic success and life success, can you figure out what it is? The biggest indicator of academic and life success, even bigger than our native intelligence, is, yes, you got it right, our self-concept. How we perceive ourselves, how we feel about ourselves, that is our vision of who we are. And it's true for all of us, whether we're little children in preschool, children going to elementary or high school, or whether we're in the ending years of our lives. It's true for all of us, no matter who we are. So if I may repeat this first approach, invite yourself to a personalized, custom-designed vision. personalized, custom-designed vision, a clear, solid vision of who you are. And you, and only you, know that in your depth. And feel free, if it's a helpful style for you, to maybe write that vision on paper. You might start with two simple words, I am, and then make a list of who you truly, deeply believe and perceive yourself to be. For example, and I say this without wanting to influence your writing too much, you might start your writing with words something like these, and I just threw some thoughts down on paper here. I am an amazing embodiment of God, pure and simple. I am a light that shines brightly and radiates all around me. I am a solid holder of my soul's truth. I am a powerful heart pounding out blessings to everyone around me. I am a wondrous beam of infinite light that is constantly recreating me in every moment. I am a delirious manifestation of life's miraculous nature. I am a wonder to behold in my simplicity and ordinariness and in my awesome and exceptional nature. I am a divinely created, divinely engineered, divinely propelled, and divinely alive human wonder. I am full, complete, and whole in my every cell, my every emotion, my every thought, and my every moment. Once you put your personalized vision into form, whether conceptual form in your mind or written form as we've seen here, then you'll be able to visit and revisit it at will or whenever you need it. And this clear vision just might help you again to remember, yes, to remember who you are. As a second approach, remember I'm closing with three approaches, you might want to notice being the big word, notice the many ways in which your expansive, whole, and full self is already making a difference in the world, whether you are aware of it or not. For example, notice how someone leaves their interaction with you, even if it's a very brief one, feeling a little bit better. Or notice how the cashier at the store is touched by your light, even if no verbal exchange happened between the two of you. Or notice how your smile, or, if you will, the invisible smile of your heart, wakes someone up to that moment's possibility, even if seemingly small. Or finally, notice how your presence, just your presence, is a light to those on the other side of the world, for example, those who consciously know nothing of your existence, perhaps those who are experiencing a severe food shortage, or are being forcefully removed from their land, or those who are being unjustly abused or even killed, or those who have no problems at all, those who are doing quite well, but are also being gigantically supported by that very luminous light of the universe that gives life to everyone, that very light that you equally embody. And when you notice these things, and better yet, when you accept the truth of what you're noticing, you automatically start noticing even more of the fine-tuned, more of the now more clearly visible gifts that are daily emitted from your sacred presence on this equally sacred earth, and go out to bless everyone, every life form, bless the planet itself, bless the whole atmospheric energy around the planet, bless everything that you could look out on and say, gee, that's not right. And just know that you are a profound, huge blesser. And indeed, by doing that, you will have fulfilled the words of the famous mythologist Joseph Campbell, a friend of all of ours, who said, and I quote, "The goal of life is to make your heartbeat match the heartbeat of the universe." I want to say that again. The goal of life is to make your heartbeat match the heartbeat of the universe. And my third approach that I'd like to offer, and take this only if you feel your soul's deepest truth calling you to it. It's in two words: be divine. Be the God self that you are at your core. allow that identity that your vision called you to front and center, allow it to be front and center in your personality, to be there in your behavior, in your words, in your thoughts, in your feelings. Call yourself to be that in, ideally, every moment of your life. For example, you might ask yourself, how is my God self feeling right now? Or what does my divine self think about this situation that I'm in? Or how would my infinitely inspired self want to handle this situation? Or how might I behave in this moment as my divine self would behave? Or one more, what is my soul-driven self perceiving and knowing right here, right now? Or if you will, any other question that invites you to see and experience your life in accord with who you really are, divinity and humanity in playful interaction, infinite and finite in glorious communion, expansiveness and contractedness in a wondrous dance of ongoing creation, endlessness and time-boundness playing together in an embrace of oneness, and all of the above with divinity, your divinity, the divinity, having as much space in your consciousness as does your humanity, with infinity being at play in your awareness as much as in your finiteness, with life's expansiveness penetrating, interpenetrating your human contractedness in ways that invite you to and create a joyous freedom just in that interplay, and with the absolute endlessness of your being blessing your time-bounded humanity with unending love, enormous grace, and full freedom. These three approaches, having a personalized vision of your true self, noticing how you're already making a difference in the world, and being your true God self, these three approaches can make a profound difference, not only in how you feel about your life, but in your whole sense of personal fullness and wholeness here on this absolutely delectable earth. And so I'd like to close my words this evening, just before I give our auditory space over to your words, with a quote from, I know it's one of your favorite books, the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Oh yes, you know it well. It's also on your nightstand. And then I want to give us a final reminder about our fullness, and then some words from one of my poems. So the first is a quote from the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And you might consider these words, it's just like two lines, spoken directly to you. O nobly born, O you of glorious origins, remember your radiant, true nature. Trust it. Return to it. It is home. And that ends the quote. It is home. It is your radiant, true nature. It's your home. It's our home. And it's a home that's filled with everything imaginable, filled with everything we need, everything that creates and recreates life, everything that supports and magnifies life, everything that blesses and gives gifts forever, everything that ever could be, even is or ever will be. It's all home, and it all lives in you, and it all is you, and it is me, and it is us. And to celebrate you, and to celebrate this glorious home that you are, to honor you as a being of enormous radiant light, and to remind you that in your radiance is your truest self, I'd like to read this poem that I wrote, I think, last year. And I believe I've read it to you previously. It's entitled, Do You Remember? And it goes like this. Look at you. Pure, radiant, glorious soul, beaming ray of infinity's light. I was just thinking about that sacred moment when your unbounded soul was graciously thrust from the blissful heart of divine love, only to land mightily on this precious earth, generously becoming one of us. Can you recall what it was like before that eventful trip? Your spirit so eternal, so free, your soul so immense, so vast. Can you remember being that brilliant ray of light, floating gleefully in endless fields of divine grace? Ah, you were so amazing, so limitless, so grand, a bright ray of sunshine to all around you, an unspeakable delight to behold. Now look at you, all dressed up in your own very own human body, filled to overflowing with tender human emotions, stirred from within by rich dreams and passionate desires, daily transfixed by heartful creations and chosen successes. Yes, you've become an honest-to-goodness official human being. Good for you. Do you still remember your glowing light? Can you recall your beauteous soul, your amazing spirit, your infinite elegance, your mystical splendor, your vast radiance, your endless wonder? They're all still here, you know, these dazzling qualities of your radiant past. They're fully alive and well right here and now, in you, through you, around you, as you. Yes, there is much you now as then. Ah, look inside yourself. There they are. Search your beating heart. Your mighty spirit is smiling up at you. Find your deepest core. Your wise soul is there, quietly whispering to you. Dive into your creative thoughts. Your endless infinity is shining upon you. Open to your silent depths. Your vast light is right there greeting you. Look all around yourself. Your radiant glow is shining brightly everywhere. Yes, look at you, divinely human and humanly divine. Matter and spirit dancing together, earth and universe blended in harmony, body and soul united in love, limitless light breathing you and being breathed by you. Unbounded spirit alive in you and swirling all around you. Vast soul inspiring you and blessing everyone around you. Powerful universe expressing within you and expressed as you. Look at you. Look at you. And I thank you so much for being with me in these words, which, as you know, are just meant to be an external expression of your own inner voice that you are hopefully listening to more than anything else.